Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On this episode of Sound Reasoning, we wanted to continue our discourse on the study of the church, ecclesiology, the study of the church. What is the church? Why do we consider the church different than the world? What's the function of the church? What is God's perception of the church globally as well as locally? And we've been dealing with, as the first segment, we've been dealing with the leadership within the church, those people that God has called to serve us in leadership positions. And if we are to be clear, the question is, who are these leaders and what are they supposed to do? And we've dealt with a variety of leadership distinctions. For today, we wanted to continue the position of pastors. The word pastor, as we said before, is derived from the Greek word poimen, and is translated as a shepherd, one who leads. But it's important that we realize that the pastors are leading God's people. It's not our church. It's God's church. It's not the pastor's church. It's God's church. It's not the bishop's church. It's God's people. And we, in leadership, must understand what we've been called for. And if you are a pastor, your position is not to give the people what you think. Your position is not to give the people your preferences. Your position is not to give God's people your personal ideologies or pedagogies. Your position is to lead God's people to God, to point them toward God, to feed God's people what God is giving you to feed them. It's not our church. It is God's church. It's not the leader's church. It is God's church. It's not the pew's church. It's God's church. And God has given us parameters by which to serve. If you are blessed enough to be in a leadership position, God has something to say about it. If you're blessed enough to be part of a local church, God has something to say about it. God has roles. God believes in roles. God believes in what leaders ought to do. Ephesians 4:11, as an example, Paul writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." So God gave our pastors to us. God blessed us with our pastors to feed us, to encourage us, to help us in the edification process. Pastors are an important positions that we as a church must not play with. If you are called to be a pastor, this is a calling to serve. And pastors know blatantly well that it's not a position to toy with. It's not a position to use as just a title for advancement. Being a pastor is a grueling position. It is a tough position. But yet, if you're called to this capacity, God infused with it joy. God gives you peace. God gives you endurance. God meets you during service. God is carrying you while you're going through whatever situation you're going through. If you're called, God can do some miraculous things through your hands if you're called. If you're not called, then there are signs to look out for. this the signs of being burnt out, the signs of being more complaining than encouraging, the signs of lacking joy, being short with people, feeling as though your own personal needs are not being met. There are signs to pastoral burdens and pastoral burnouts. So not saying that those signs automatically means you weren't called to that position, but we need to keep in touch with the Spirit. We need to keep in touch with God to make sure that if he did call us, that he's calling us to the position that we're serving in. That is so very important. So pastors are God's under shepherds. They point us to God. 1 Peter 5:2-4. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Peter speaking to the pastors, watching over them, not because you must, meaning that you're not doing it just because it's a rule, but you're doing it because you want to, not because it's a mandate, but you're doing it because you love God's people. You're serving God's people, not to fulfill or check off a denominational assignment, but you love God's people. You have a joy for serving God's people. You have a joy for helping to heal broken relationships. You have a joy for counseling. You have a joy for seeing what God is doing in people's lives. You have a joy for talking to God and praying with God and fellowshipping with God and being sensitive to the Spirit. These are the duties and functions of a healthy pastor. You're willing as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain. This is Peter talking, 1 Peter 5:2-4. But eager to serve. That's what a good pastor is. They're eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You're not a pastor. A healthy pastor doesn't dominate God's people, doesn't become domineering. A good pastor is not seen as a dictator. A good pastor is not seen as someone who doesn't love people. A good pastor has the attitude and has the joy that overflows. It's evident that they love God's people. It's evident that they themselves are willing to discipline themselves in their personal lives to be held up as a standard. A good pastor stands on sound doctrine and teach in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, when it's popular, when it's unpopular. A good pastor leans on the Holy Spirit and is willing to teach and lead God's people in the truth, not lording over them, not lording over it, over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the pastoral position brings with it blessings in this life. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, arrives, they will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Pastors, when we are faithful to our assignments, we will receive, you will receive a crown of glory. 1 Corinthians 9:6-7. Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living, who serves as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat his grapes, who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? And this again is dealing with how we ought to treat our pastors. Our pastors serve well, and we must, it's led by the Holy Spirit, we must go above and beyond to show them that we are grateful. Pastors intercede on our behalf. Pastors spend a lot of restless nights listening to our stories and dilemmas. Pastors are on their knees praying for us, thinking about us, thinking about our families, thinking about relationships that need to be restored. Pastors are thinking about us. They're praying for us. They are attending to us. Pastors work often on our behalf. So as a sign of gratitude, we must make sure that we take care of our pastors. We must make sure that we encourage them. We must make sure that we're praying for them. We must make sure that we're also showing them how much we love them, not just by lip service, but also taking care of them financially. Taking care of them financially as the church is able to. So make sure that we are looking out for our pastors, that we're taking care of our pastors because they do so much for us. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, Paul is just basically laying out an argument. Is it only him and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? It's a rhetorical question. Even Paul worked. He worked as a tent maker. Verse 7, who serves as a soldier at his own expense. A lot of pastors spend money out of their own pocket to advance the kingdom and to build people up. Well, we shouldn't take that for granted. We should also pay them back. We should also take care of them. And as much as we are called to do, we should bless them above and beyond, if we can, what we are thinking about. But we should take care of our pastors. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Our pastors do get dividends from how we're growing and how the church is growing and the joy they see in other people. That's a blessing in itself. And so when pastors serve, God blesses them for their service. And they see it in the lives of the people that they're leading, the people that they're serving. So that is a blessing in itself. That is an indication of the seeds that they planted, and now the seeds are growing and bearing fruit. And then the last part says, who tends to a flock and does not drink the milk? Again, it's using an agricultural terminology. If you put in the work on your farm and do it right, you're going to see the dividends. You're going to reap what you sow, basically. And so when pastors serve us in whatever capacity, and they do what they're supposed to do, sooner or later, they'll start seeing their fruit come up. They start reaping all of the time that they spend on their knees. They'll see it come to pass. Then the next position in the church is the prophets. The word prophet comes from the Greek word prophetes, which is translated as one who speaks forth or openly. In essence, the prophet spoke on behalf of God. And then, as I've always said, there are two types of prophets that we see in the scriptures. There's this concept of foretelling as well as forthtelling. Foretelling is F-O-R-E, and forthtelling is F-O-R-T-H. And these two concepts of prophesying is basically saying this. Foretelling is when God uses someone to predict something in the future that has never happened before. Forthtelling is God is using someone to boldly make a proclamation about something that's going to happen. But with forthtelling, everything that is prophesied has to be backed up by the canon of scripture. Where foretelling, this was relatively new precedence, meaning that nothing had happened like this before. But in forthtelling, that's what we do now. As present day people who God uses to prophesy, whatever God has given the prophet in today's culture has to be in sync with scripture. Has to be in sync with scripture. Has to be in harmony with scripture. If anyone comes to you prophesying and it's inconsistent with scripture, do not receive them. Do not receive them. You have to reject them because it's not of God. No one should be able to come to us and tell us God is saying X, Y, and Z, and it can't be backed up by scripture. That's not of God. When we look at the scriptures, We find numerous verses that supports the idea of the prophet. Ephesians 2 and 20. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So we learn that there are apostles and there are prophets. And we're not saying that prophets do not exist. We believe they do exist. But what we're saying is, if we have any prophets today, which we should, whatever they prophesy must be backed up by scripture. Ephesians 4 and 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Once again, we see this position of prophets. Note the word prophetes, which is the feminine version of the Greek word, and that's P-R-O-P-H-E-T-I-S, the feminine version of the Greek word prophetess. The feminine version is in a righteous sense, as an example, used of Anna, Luke 2:36, and in an unrighteous sense, as used of Jezebel, Revelations 2 and 20. So that word can be used not only in a feminine sense, but in a righteous sense as well as unrighteous sense. Luke 2:36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And so it's clear that God uses females also to be prophetess. God used men and women in the office of prophesying. Revelations 2:20. Nevertheless, and this is the one dealing with the unrighteous version of being a prophet as it relates to Jezebel. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. So this is the bad version of prophesying. When we use the gifts that God has given us for evil, when we use the gifts that God has given us for our own righteousness versus God's righteousness. Revelations 2 and 20. The next office we want to deal with are teachers. Teachers, teachers, teachers. Now, teachers, the word teachers derived from the Greek word didaskalos. Didaskalos, which means teacher or one who instructs. It is used of both truthful teachers as well as false teachers. So let's look at Acts 13 and 1. And it says, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. If you are a teacher called by God to teach us people, God will make sure that you have the anointing you need to do what you need to do. God will make sure you have the wisdom that you need in order to teach and lead his people. If you're called by God, God will make sure that you have everything you need to be able to study, to be able to get into his word, to be able to understand, to be able to unpack the principles so you can share with other people. When God calls you to be a teacher, it's a unique and important position. You can't play with the position of being a teacher. You hold lives in your hand by what you teach. Teachers ought to be able to study to show themselves approved of God, a workman who need not be embarrassed, but rightly dividing the word of God. That description right there, that adverb, rightly dividing the word of God, is important. We must divide God's word how? Rightly, which infers that some people can divide God's words incorrectly. So it's important. God holds us accountable as teachers to be able to divide his word accurately. Hebrews 5 and 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And this is an indictment. This is an indictment on those who have rebelled against God, and as a result, they're not growing. They're still on Similac. They're still on baby milk. They're still are not able to eat meat, but they've been in Christ 5, 10, 15, 20 years. They ought to be teachers, some of them, be in a position to be able to tell other people who God is, what the Bible is about, to be able to unpack the scriptures. But they're still on milk. Our teachers, however, should not be that way. Our teachers should be in a position where they can unpack God's word. We're not saying that every teacher that's called immediately gets to know everything. No one knows everything. But what we do as teachers, we study. We get to know God better and better. Our understanding broadens. We start gaining wisdom that can be used for spiritual living. And this is what God is calling us to. Every teacher must be able to handle God's word accurately. Oftentimes, I get people that contact me about a scripture that they're dealing with for their Sunday school class. They wrestle with it. They've looked at commentaries, but it's still not making sense to them. So they reach out to me and ask me to help them make sense of this topic or the scripture. And I'm happy to do so. If I have, and which I've had that that happen to me, when I'm struggling with a scripture, there are people that I can call, and they can give me sound biblical advice on how to approach that scripture. So all of us should be thirsty for God's word, and then all of us should be willing to get in a position where we can unpack God's word. But then God calls us to another level, some of us, to become teachers. You are holding people's souls in your hands. Whatever you say can bring life or can bring damnation. So it's important that we as teachers, we learn how to embrace sound doctrine, how to learn the hyges of God's standard. And hyges is the Greek word for healthy, H-U-G-I-E-S, being healthy. And healthy teaching is what God encouraged us to do, not just teaching. We see a lot of teaching in our communities. We see a lot of teaching on the radio. We see a lot of teaching on television. And not all of them are necessarily healthy. So we have to test the spirit by the spirit. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say that they're what their itching ears want to hear. So again, Paul is warning Timothy that the time will come where people will just preach and teach what the congregation wants to hear, not necessarily what God wants them to hear. They won't talk about hell anymore. They won't talk about sin anymore. They won't talk about the things that we need to avoid anymore. They teach in a way that makes people excited, but they're not challenging the people. They're not helping the people. They're giving them milk instead of meat. Well, our time has come to a close, and we pray that these episodes are helping you to get a clear understanding of the positions that God has given us inside the church. And if we do it God's way, we can't go wrong. But if we do it our way, it brings in more headache than joy. So we pray that you learn something from these episodes. We thank you all for praying for this ministry. We thank you all that support this ministry. If you like to give a donation, go on our website. You can also write a donation to SR Ministries, P.O. Box 582306. Now remember, to do for the truth what so many people do for a lie.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time. And remember, Titus 1:9 says, hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
Once in a generation, a podcast comes along with the power and eloquence to inspire us all.
This show will entertain you while you wait for that one. Join two best friends, author and former history teacher John Driver and comedian Johnny W. for hilarious and authentic conversations about life, history, culture, faith, and everything in between.
You can listen to Talk About That wherever you find your podcasts or at lifeaudio.com.